If you get it, you'll grow enormously. Enormously. Your pillar will be changed completely. But you have to concentrate fully. Everybody, head down and think about what we're doing here. Nothing. You haven't got one. You have a text? Oh. Okay. Please don't forget. Don't forget to pound the financier here.
Okay.
Patriot base. Bottom paragraph. Okay? I read it over very, very carefully. I think it's profound. The inyan hu kach. Dihine mavua b'svoim. It's explained in Svoim. She'af al pi she'ha'olam hazeh nira be'eineinu katachativa achas shel buya. It appears to our eyes that the world is created and it carries on with its own momentum. Ha'mismasheches she'eshes alafim yom achayom. Now, the world is set in its orbit. The world will carry on in its routine. It appears to me that everything will just flow normally. So it appears to the natural eye. Omnom be'emes ein okein. You're mistaken terribly. That's not the way the world works. You think day, night follows day, and winter follows summer, and the whole thing. You think it doesn't work like that. Ela kol yoim sheyesh ba'olam hazeh. Every single day in the creation is a completely new light with its own individual influences. Sets the world into motion. Every single day has its own mechanism. It's not dependent on yesterday. And everything that happens in the existence and the maintenance of the world and every detail that you see which is going on, like the trees grow, people walk, people talk, people get married, children grow up, you think it's all set into motion by HaKadosh Baruch Hu for every single day. So says the Ramchal. Ki hine kol hayom mimei sheshes alfei hashana, hine kulam gezurim va'omdim milfona b'sporach v'bechinas ha'oros v'hashbos. Every single day of the creation is set into motion specifically for that day. In other words, everything is decided upon. You'll see in a minute now where tefillah comes in. Metzius u'matzovim, what exists and the situations, the chaos, the tragedies, the simchas, the experiences, the politics, everything is set into motion by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ha'matzrichim la'olam li'sheyashlim ha'sibuv, everything which is needed for the world to carry on, for the orbit to carry on. Ha'niotza b'yagia l'shlim, that it will carry on. You don't see that with the naked eye. With the naked eye, you just see, of course, it's getting dark now, tomorrow someone will rise up again. You think everything just works normally. People grow up, people grow old, all the situation that you think happens. It's not like that, says the Ramchal. The Nimsa kol yoim bechina chadosha mamash. And every single day has its own generator behind it. Ubechina hahi mischadish kol hamitzios kula. And the whole world works like that. And that's why we say in the morning in davening, hamachadish v'tuva b'chol yom tamash. My separations, Ken, my separations. Now you'll see where tefillah comes in.
So just to extend that means that if you have a bad day, there's no yirsh in that.
No.
Today's a new day.
Today's a new day. My father alone, we should say that tomorrow's another day. Tomorrow's another day, whatever it was today. Tomorrow's another day. Another day, in other words, it's an entirely different hashgacha, and everything is, and that's why, of course, where tefillah comes in, because everything is dependent on that day, shachris in the morning, and mincha. Everything has its own motivation, its own mechanism behind it all. You have a bad day, so that was it, the one day. Tomorrow can be a wonderful day.
Circumstances can change. Doesn't mean we need to exempt ourselves from, let's say, cheshbon nefesh or anything like that for that previous day. We need to learn and then...
Yes, of course. But you don't catch that. The eye doesn't see that. The eye only sees the continuation and the monotony almost, the momentum. That's what you see. You don't realize that.
Just another day.
Yes. Yeah. Let's carry on. Kol ha'briya kulam, b'chol ha'olam as kulam, tzirichim lehischadesh b'hashbos eilu kol yoyim. Kol olam lefi mashehu, each world in its place. What he means by a world is, let me explain to you. The lowest world which we see is the world of Asiya, the world of activity, which is the world of Asiya. That's the lowest world. The higher world from that is something from something else, called the olam ha'yitzira. Higher than that is Olam Habriya, something from nothing. Higher than that is the world of Atzilus, and higher than that is, in Kabbalah, it's called Odom Akadmon, Ein Sof. It's all higher levels of understanding. But the world has its, like, chain reaction from the top coming down. And that's the Koyach is that from the Koyach of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he sends down messages through the Koyach Atzilus, Abriya, Yitzir, and that's Omeinu Heshmei Rabo Mavah Le'olam. Four worlds it goes down to the world of Asiya. But in our world, that's how everything works. Chaim, life. Bias, good health. Parnosa, Shalom, Wafua, Yeshua. And especially what Klal Yisrael needs at a particular moment in time. That they should be successful in Torah and mitzvahs, that everything can carry on in the way the world runs. Can you imagine if your davening had this behind it, if you had this thought behind you when you start davening in the morning? And every world has its individual effect on you, from the top all the way down to the bottom. And everything comes through because you're proud of tefillah. So you'll see everybody being successful without davening. How do you explain that? The world carries on, but the ma'aser, they're not in the world. They're not living in the world.
There's also bechira. There needs to be bechira in the world.
But people carry on and get up in the morning and they make their coffee and they go off to work and they never say a word of prayer. So how do you explain that? They're given gifts. Right. It's a gift. They're paid off all that they have in Olam Hazeh. There's no Olam Haba.
Right. In terms of
they didn't collect anything. They just took. They were takers. They weren't givers.
Right. But if it was the other way, there'd be no bechira. Meaning people would know. Oh, okay. You daven and it rains. Okay. You daven, you get panasa. Then okay. It would just be scientific. Just I do A, I'll daven. I'll say the right words, and then it's automatically going to happen. But for us to have bechira,
they're nisyonos in life. That's exactly the bechira. They're nisyonos. Sometimes you daven and daven something, it doesn't happen.
No.
Moshe Rabbein davened over 500 times. You know, it's as well. The answer was no. Mm. But he kept on davening for it. Mm-hmm. There's something called the decision by HaKadosh. But our avoda is complete. That's our avoda has to be an avoda of recognition through prayer, and that's what prayer is all about. That's why it's profound what he's saying here. Was the man Kesher again? Hashpah Zeilu Yoidem Alidei Tefillah Seinu by the Koyach of our Tefillah. Kishas HaTefillah, who's the man shall Kesher? You make a connection with the Creator, the Chibur Im Hashem Yisbarach, who aced him. It's a time of tremendous affection. You talk to him. You express to him
every day.
You talk to him. It's an incredible thing. Ever tell you the Maisa of Chaim Greinemann, was sitting there at the table with his uncle, the Chazon Ish, sitting at the table, a beautiful miser. And the Chazon Ish was quiet, so he was sitting there quietly at the table. All of a sudden, the Chazon Ish turned around and said, how can it possibly be that I can talk to him? How can I talk to him? Natush, like a nothing in the world. I can talk to Bolio. How can it possibly be? And he was quiet for a few minutes, and the Chazon Ish says, and he hears me, not just like, and he hears me, he actually hears me talking, as I talk to him, and I say, he's listening to me, and the Chazon Ish was quiet, and then he said, and if he thinks it's good for me, he'll grant me what he thinks I need, Manoira HaTefillah, that was the Chazon Ish. Incredible what tefillah is, you talk to him, he listens to you, and he thinks it's good for you, he'll give, and if not, he won't grant it to you. But there's a connection, and that's the connection between Adam and Moka. Incredible connection through tefillah. You talk to him. No other mitzvah has that connection. Tefillah in the body, you tie yourself up to. You know, learning Torah is about something else, is the growth of the neshama. But actually talking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and discussing with him and thanking him and expressing your thanks to him. I just mentioned today there was a Yom Iyun in Yerushalayim for the women, Shemes Aloshin. So I told them that there isn't one person in the whole world who doesn't have an oil. Everybody has some sort of burden, whatever it is. Everybody has some sort of oil. There's no person who doesn't have an oil. Every person has an oil, some sort of burden, something that they're struggling with. I told them I was on the plane coming back, going to America for Pesach, sitting on the plane, and you know, on El Al, bless them, they give you like no room to put your elbow at all. You know, sit like that. So you move your arm, you're banging the other guy. So the guy next to me gave me a tail, started shouting at me. He said, "You're taking up all the room." It was impossible. He was just letting me. It was havoc. It was terrible, impossible. So I decided maybe I should say something. Then I thought to myself, maybe he has a son in Gaza. Maybe he lost a son. I don't know. Maybe he lost a child or something. I don't know. Maybe he's one of Mufunim set away from his home. I tell you, you're there, my colleague. I don't know. I was sitting in Breezels this 2 weeks ago, sitting in Breezels having a cup of coffee. And the mensch sitting next to me turned around to me and said to me, "Do you speak English?" I said, "I speak English." He said, "Yes. I just got married again. My wife died in COVID, and I just got married again. I'm living in Telstone." He started telling me his difficulty, how hard it is. You know? His wife died in COVID. He came from Chicago, came to live in Telstone. You know, people have an oil. People have an oil. People have, everybody has an oil, whatever it is. Yeah. My wife works for Emuna as a therapist. The amount of trauma in the families is absolutely terrible. People are traumatized. What's going on? The fear, the passion, tremendous. People murder.
I just heard from one of the workers, one of the tradesmen in the area, and he had a big Israeli guy who had been in Gaza. He was working for him in one of the trades, labor. And he heard, and this worker, a young guy, heard a lot of the construction work going on and the jackhammering going on. He started breaking down crying.
Ah.
And you all know the person who he works for. He's one of the local guys who employs people for labor work. And he said, "What's the matter?" And he said, I can't work for you anymore. He said, "Why not?" He says, "Just hearing those noises takes me back to Gaza."
Yeah.
He said, "This is like a big, strong, tough army guy, and he's already he can't work in with this jackhammering going on because it brings back the trauma from
I went to a chasna just before Shivas the Batamus. And the chasna began, the chuppah began in the following way. The kala is named after a girl who was killed at a pigua 20 years ago. And the chosen has just come back from the shiva from his best man, who's a chabusa, who was killed in Gaza. The chosen and the kala. You know, these sort of souls, people have souls. Souls, people. To recognize that people and relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So I told them, someone once came to a Pchat school, the mashgiach of the Mir, turned around to him, "What's going to be with me? I have all the money I need in the world. I have good health. I have children. I have nafas. I have everything I possibly. What's going to be with my olam haba? What's going to be with me?" So a Pchat school turned around and says, "Your oil is to recognize that every gift that you have is a blessing from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's your oil. Your oil is to never to forget that. That's your oil. Where is an oil? To, you know, you must connect with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You have to talk to him.
You have to be grateful.
Everything. People go through difficulties. People go through the hardship people have. That's when you have to talk. And that's what he's saying here. It's a time of great love and affection. Lit ales itoy, to be delighted, to be joyful with him. Ba'ahuvim, with great love. And to bring down his hashpah down to the world. All that we just mentioned until now, everything only comes about through the koyach of tefillah. Without tefillah, nothing happens. Beautifully written here. As it says in Derech Hashem. Inyan hatefillah hu, kihine min hasdorim, all the different arrangements and organizations and plans and designs of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that they can all receive it all. You must first of all connect with him first. Be scalvel and be connected with him. Be back, ask him first and connect with him, and then the hashbar will come back. But you must talk to him. A woman just came up to me just now at the Yom Iyun in Haunov. She came up to me and said to me, her husband was a great poseik. She's a first cousin to Moshe Feinstein. Her husband had a few heart attacks and strokes and everything. She's lost all her emunah. What can I do? I have no help in life. My husband is completely crippled at home. He can't do anything at all. What can I possibly do? And I said to her, talk to Hashem. I said, actually, I have no emunah anymore. My husband's just complete like a vegetable. He can't do anything at all. Very hard.
talk to Hashem, you know, discuss it with him, talk to him. It's hard. People have to be, you have to maintain your connection. Women especially have a very hard time because they don't go to shul, they don't have a minyan. Their davening is very, very difficult because they're by themselves. If a woman doesn't daven, she has no connection with Hashem. She doesn't have a Torah. Very important for a woman to daven. Then she connects with her, because she feels like a shifter. I remember a woman once came up to me in Haunov. She said, I feel like a shifra in my house. I do all the cooking, all the cleaning. I said, you daven? She said, no, I don't have time for it. I said, but you must make time for daven. If you don't daven, you have no connection. You have no connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You're not connected with him. When you're connected with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then you feel your yachas. I'm the nivra, he is the bayra. I am breathe and he gives me life. I eat and he gives me the food. I see, he gives me eyesight. That yachas. The yachas is, I am the makabel and he is the nice. Who nice lechem l'chobosan? I am the one who eats the food. He is the one who gives me life. It's all the yachas. I'm dependent on him. And he gives me life and I say machal kachayim b'chaz. Everything is that connection. If you can put that into your prayers, then it's a different happening altogether. You become closer to Hashem. And according to how much a person attaches himself to Hashem, so the influence and the impact will be felt.
Amen.
Amen.
And if you don't, says the Ramchal, you will not be connected and you will not get the influences from there. And that's why you must daven every single day to bring down the influences for that day. For that day, we're looking after. When you daven shachris in the morning, you're looking after for that day. That day. We'll look at the footnote in a minute. By the way, Rabbi is saying, there's a halach in Shulchan Aruch, but when you say in Es Tzemach David, Kilishu Asra Kivinu Kol Hayom, when you say those words in Es Tzemach David, that is for today's nisyonos, for today's challenges. Kilishu Asra Kivinu Kol Hayom, there's a peirush in Shulchan Aruch called the Ma'ari Tzemach, which is brought down the Shari Tshuva. He says that when you say those words, those are today's challenges. Today's challenges are Kilishu Asra Kivinu Kol Hayom.
Not
Rei Avon Yenu is something else, but that's also important. But Kilishos Kivinu Kol Hayom. Today's challenges are you're going to an office, you're going to a meeting, you have a certain trial, a certain procedure.
And you're implying that every challenge means a Yeshua for that day.
Yeah, for that day. The day's challenges are through there. Kilishos Kivinu Kol Hayom.
Communal.
Both, I suppose.
Tonight, do we have
Kavanah
for tomorrow?
Pashtas for tomorrow. Maybe it's already for the next day, right? Shachris and Mincha for day, and then maybe is the next day. Yeah. Take a look at the footnote, Rabbi. So this is a beautiful point which he's bringing out. He's made a selection for Nefesh HaChaim. Nefesh HaChaim, Shah Beis, and Shah Gimel talk about Tefillah, the Chaim Balashim. There are certain, he's taken out certain selected passages. Look at the bottom here. V'ro'ui l'kol ish me'am ha'kodesh. It's correct for each person. L'tzaref zois ha'machshova. To put a good, clean thought. V'toyha ha'kavona. And a pure intention. Ha'rotzia ba'esek ha'toyra u'masim mitzvahs. When you learn Torah, you do a mitzvah, you say Shema, you put on tefillin, you put whatever the mitzvah is. And if you do that, if you have the right intention when you do the mitzvah, you make a bracha. Whatever it is, it like gives nourishment for your neshama. It's like mozain. It's mozain muchni. Mozain muchni for neshama is whatever you've done, whatever you have intention for. You're going to say shema. You're going to make a bracha. You're going to bench. Whatever it is, that gives nourishment for your neshama. Next one. When you stand in front of Hashem, when you stand in front of Hashem, you're going to daven Ma'ariv now, and you make a connection from one world to the other. Every single word that you say has a connection above. Every single word. Every word that is said connects with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Each word. The Hamaskel Yavin, someone who's discerning, understands. That's what the Chazal made by the 120 sages. Mehem kama neviim ela shehema hisigu b'ruach kodesham. They decided every single word. You should say this word, say that word. Everything was debated and discussed. 120 of the greatest Talmid Chachamim in Eretz Yisrael, the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah. They discussed the text, how you should say it, when you should say it, the order you should say it. The Hasogas Nevuah Samelion, and they had tremendous Nevuah. And they understood the whole of the creation. And they knew exactly how the world works. They had, therefore, be very careful with your words of davening. And that's why you say, you can't say, Tishma Hashem l'kol shalom. You must say, Shema koleinu. You can't say, we thank you, Hashem. Ma'idim anachno. You have to say it in the words that they said it. And that's how they saw each word has a very powerful effect. Standing in the height of the world, because those words have tremendous effect. Look at the next one. But if you have any questions, please, if I'm going too fast, please stop me. Boy Kosov Shon, Shemeoz Tikun Hatfila Adbia Sagoyo. From the time, you know what, I may read out this in my Sefer, this, because I wrote in my Sefer what he's bringing here, which is very, very useful, I think. I'll read out to you in English what I wrote.
But this well, next, the Indian of Ain Tfila Achas.
Yes. Listen to these words. Reb Chaim Beloshin provided a global focus for prayer that helps remove lethargy from each repetitive Shemana Esrei. The Siddur mirrors the spiritual circuit of the Jewish nation from the first exile to the final redemption. It was composed at the time of the destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash with the intention of providing a text for prayer that would substitute for the sacrifices. Although the words from one Shemana Esrei to the next are identical, either the same words, the spiritual and material conditions of the universe are never the same. It's never the same from one tefillah to the next. Subsequently, the impact of each prayer is exclusive to the needs of mankind and each individual at that moment in time. Even though they're the same words, you said them last year, but the words, those words have such nevuah to them. They're effective now and they're effective 100 years ago. That's an incredible nevuah, but the world has changed. The conditions have changed, but that was the power of the nevuah, that the words were relevant at each time until the time of the Beis HaMikdash HaShlishi, until that time. Prayer matches the rotation of the globe and adapts to the conditions required for its spiritual repair. But how can it? They're ancient words. They were written thousands of years ago. That's the Nevuah. That's the Nevuah which they had. This point is illustrated by a halacha. If a Shemona Esrei was omitted due to illness, forgetfulness, or genuine accident, the halacha prescribes that an additional Shemona Esrei should be received at the next opportunity. This additional Shemona Esrei is called a tashlumim, a repayment, but it cannot actually compensate for the prayer that was omitted. It doesn't compensate. The spiritual momentum generated by that Mishmar can never be replaced. You can't replace it. I said, what do you dab in the next one? It's Tashlumim. But that's gone. You can't replace it. The world has changed. You have changed. All the conditions of the world have changed. You can't make up that time. That time was gone. And you missed that time. The world of each individual and the universe at large has changed. The circumstances for that prayer no longer exist. Incredible thought. It's gone. You can't make it up. It's used up. The world has changed. You have changed. Everything's changed. The world has completely changed. The world has moved on. You've moved on differently. You're now here today. Yesterday was a different need, a different world. And that's the koyach of the nevuah of the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah.
So is the tashlumi more of a, I don't want to call it a
knas. It's a tashlum. It's an extra merit. It's a merit you have, but it's not the same tefillah. That tefillah is gone. Why are you doing it? You're saying, why do you have a tashlumi? What does it do? What's the merit of the tashlumi? Because I'll give you another chance, but that one's gone. Maybe it's the yachas to HaKadosh Baruch
Hu. It must have some merit because you've only got one tefillah after to catch up.
Yes.
You can't do it 3 days later.
Yes.
And not only that, it has to be in a specific order. You have to do the current tefillah first.
And then afterwards, you make up one. Yes.
So.
It must be the connection to Hashem. You're given an opportunity to connect to Hashem.
Yeah.
But the filling the needs of the moment have gone. Yeah. That point has gone. It's passed. The rule is that from the time of the Siddur was composed, no two prayers arrive at the same level in heaven, nor do they make the same impression in heaven. Each prayer comes with its own agenda according to the needs of the universe. At that moment in time, each prayer differs from the one before. All this is taken from Reb Chaim Volozhin. This unique impact of each prayer at a designated time emphasizes the profound depth of prophecy behind the Siddur. Despite its composition thousands of years ago, the identical text recited three times a day is never archaic or irrelevant. It's an incredible thing. It's never irrelevant. It's never archaic. At each occasion, this priceless heirloom answers the needs of every individual in prayer and provides the spiritual momentum to bring about the ultimate redemption of our people. Now, let's go on. Rav Dessler takes this point further and explains that one of the greatest hurdles in prayer is to repeat the same text three times daily, 6 days a week, with passion and conviction, as if the words were composed for the day. It's very hard to do that. Say the same words over again. I just said them again at Shacharis. I said them again at Mincha. How can I do that? It's a tremendous nisayon that. That is why the Gemara comments that prayer requires constant inspiration. That's why we have to sit and learn about tefillah. It needs encouragement, because how can I say the same thing over and over again? You need chizuk for that. Mitzvahs that occur once or twice a year do not incur this dilemma of repetition. Kiddush at the beginning of each Yom Tov, hearing the shofar on Rosh Hashanah, sitting in the sukkah, listening to Megillas Esther on Purim, are all preceded by Shech Yonu B'Kiyonu B'Kiyonu. It is far easier to be inspired to fulfill a mitzvah that occurs only once a year. Much easier to do that. Those who overcome this challenge are constant. Now, this is my suggestion here, which I thought when I saw Rav Dessler. Those who overcome this challenge of constant repetition of daily prayers have reached a plateau of expertise. They're experts in tefillah. In other words, they've gone past the routine, past the regular. They've now reached a certain plateau. Their familiarity with the Siddur is the quintessence of their holiness. That's an incredible holy stage. No? It's not repetitive for me. I'm just saying the same words again, but that's the peak. The quintessence of their holiness is, I can say the same words I said them a few hours ago, I can repeat it. Prayer has become the perfect medium of expressing their faith in the Almighty, and phrases from the Siddur have become the language of their neshama. If you don't mind me saying, I think it's beautifully put. And that's exactly what it is. They reached a peak, and it's the language their neshama is talking now, even though they said the words a few hours ago. The words are never repetitive or archaic. They are like vintage wine, and bring delight from recognizing every nuance and refinement on the tongue. Tragically, many never move on from the monotony of constant repetition. Some people never move on, and this intimacy with the Almighty remains dormant throughout their lives. They never acquire the expertise of a connoisseur. They never get there. That's a tragedy. It's just archaic and repeating and chanting again and chanting again. You never move on. It's very hard for those people. Can I take this further? So how much time do we have left?
About 10 minutes.
Okay. Let me go on to you about this moshe of the wine connoisseur. This metaphor of vintage wine may be extended by comparing an amateur drinker with a professional wine connoisseur. An amateur. Expensive wine is wasted on an amateur drinker. He gulps down the liquid without a moment's thought and has no appreciation for the vintage, the full-blooded taste, and the vineyard from where the grapes were harvested. A wine connoisseur, however, never gulps down the precious liquid. It would be a division of his expertise. He first inspects and admires the reddish taint and smells the rich aroma. You ever been to Katzwin? Ever drank the wine at Katzwin?
Not the winery.
Ever been to a few wineries where
they said, never ever drink it straight away. Look at the wine, smell it, swirl it around in your glass. Don't swallow it straight away. Next, he sips a mouthful.
It must be a term equivalent of tone deaf for a connoisseur that somebody just can't appreciate.
Can't appreciate it. No,
I just call it being a boor.
Yeah. No, but it's.
I'm exactly the same. I can't. Yeah.
Distinguish it. It's just like this. Okay.
I was once in Long Island for Shabbos, and the Baal was a very wealthy man sitting at his table, and he turned around to me, drink this wine. Drink. I think he said it's a beautiful wine. He said, just taste the wine. So he gave me a sip of it. He said, what do you think of it? I said, it's okay. He said, I think he said the bottle cost
400 years old. Or something.
No, something like $700 for a bottle. I said, I will not drink another sip. This is totally wasted on me. I have no appreciation for it. Don't give me such. For me, it's enough with a. But it's out of him or something. I can't appreciate. I don't appreciate it. If you appreciate it, but him I'm not sure. Next, he sips a mouthful of divine liquid, swirls it around in his mouth, and savors the fine selection of grapes on his sensitive palate. He takes pride by quickly detecting, listen to the moshul, the country of origin, the district where the grapes were grown, the vintage, and perhaps even recognize the owner of the vineyard. A world expert might even tell you where and when the wine was bottled. It would be a profanity of his profession if he swallowed the precious liquid before identifying and enjoying each of these hidden secrets. Now the nimshal. An amateur in prayer rushes through the words, never inquiring or researching into what he is saying. He has little regard or even interest in the origin of the words, depth of implication that may lie behind them, or why they were inserted. Prayer is no more than a mechanical ritual that soothes a spiritual conscience, devoid of personal pleasure and expertise. He has no pleasure from it. He just rattles the words off. A professional in prayer appreciates that prayer is the sole replacement for a korban. Each word is treasured like a priceless heirloom, enabling him to draw closer to the Almighty. He considers their meaning and thinks of the inference behind each word and connecting phrase. He savors every nuance that he can derive from the text. His delight comes from recognizing their vintage, when they were composed, and their significance. He senses the appropriate emotional mood, whether they're words of joy or thanks, supplication or confession, and only then releases them from his lips, ensuring that they are a true expression of his own thoughts. He cherishes the privilege to communicate with the Almighty. Both the wine connoisseur and the expert in wine, in prayer, regard their expertise as a labor of love. They derive much pleasure from their chosen profession and spend a good part of the day enjoying the lasting taste that lingers on the tongue. No, it's true. Enjoy it. I had nachas. I spoke to Hashem. That's the point here. And it's repetitive, you're right. But if you can get into the point of recognizing that connection, then you reach a peak of tremendous kedusha, a tremendous holiness inside the neshama. You recognize the power of the words. It's tremendous. The koyach of people who daven with great kavona, they reach that. It's an expertise. It's no longer just chanting, it's just ritual. But you savor the words, where they come from, who wrote the words, what the emotion for the words is. You taste the words in your mouth, and then you release the words from them. Let's have a look what he's saying here at the end, my boys. We'll see at the end here. Finish off the end here. The Ha'emeshi, top of page Yudalet. Shehagosha zuhi kimat mechuyeves shetiyeh b'chol tefillah. As we find in the Shulchan Aruch, Yispalo derech tachanunim k'rosh ha'mevakesh b'pesach, like a poor man standing at the door, u'benachas, asking, v'shelo tira alav k'masot, it shouldn't be appear like a burden, u'mevakesh, and you want to get it over and done with. Let's finish it off. The Kosav Mishnah Berurah, even though you say the prayer in Loshon Tachanunim, if you never think to yourself that I need something, I have to daven, says the Mishnah, it's not correct. I say the words carefully, but it's not as if I need anything. Some people say you have to daven all over again. Halohema Habach, the Elo Rabba, the Beis Yosef, Hamam Mordechai, Mogin Yiboyrim, the Rambam, they all say the same thing. Elabitiyevit, we say you don't go over it again. But the Maisa, if you just chanted the words, many poskim say you have to say it over again. We don't paskan like that. But the words, even though you said the words over and you said it carefully, but if you didn't feel you needed something, you're coming for something. Nimsanu Lamdim, Sheitachein Metzius. A person have a kind of a fixed place for davening, umakdim, and he comes early to davening, umisvala hakola viaseda, ukumunach, but more like he's counting money, umachavein mila memila, velo yotzideh chavosai, the fisha kolhani, why? Came in shalo hirgish, he doesn't even need anything. I'm not coming to him for anything. I don't need Hashem for anything. Elam hispalel, mipne hachiyav, because I'm mukhiyav to daven, you're mukhiyav, that's no good. You must come to daven that I need something, I need to connect. And that's why you need to have davening for yourself and for the whole world. What could come out through the world? Who knows, Rabbi Yisai, where we would be this matzah nowadays in Eretz Yisrael if not for tefillah. what the matzav is now, you know, the enormous threat and the enormous problems. We wouldn't be saying every single day, I saw Einai and Louis Tfiz, which is saying, who knows what the matzav would be, what the situation would be like. Who knows what's going to happen the next few days? The Koyach of Tfilah is enormous to me. Through that, we reach our pinnacle. That's the connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, we'll leave it there. We'll meet again in Mitzvah Hashem in Elul. No, in Elul. Next week. No, we'll not go Elul. Okay. We should have a Gesunte Zuma. Gesunte Zuma.
Just discussing with my wife yesterday, discussing a little bit before the shiur started, but on one hand, you know, there's a lot of messages coming out of Rabbanim. Relax. Hold over the door, Malenu Lachalaseinu, Kosh Baruch Hu Matzilenu Miyadam. She's going to save us, though. You know, things are okay, don't worry. If we take that to the extreme, then
be
the
careless.
Concern is you'll come to davening, okay, so I don't have to daven with, any you know, wars. With that's any urgency or. So, how does one build that? On one hand, to stay calm.
I think before the tefillah and after tefillah. I think one is before tefillah and one is after tefillah. I think after tefillah, then you can. I did my avodah. Before tefillah, then you come to ask.
That's interesting.
I think that's the difference. Yeah. before you come to daven,
we're in a matzah.
Yes, and after you daven, I did my avodah. Put the siddur back on the shelf and carry on with your day.
Yeah.
No, I think that's the thing. People get very nervous, you know, but you daven. You did the avodah, you daven with kabbalah, so now go ahead with your day and carry on benachas, besimcha, and be calm. But at least I davened. I davened properly.
You can't not be calm in that situation.
No.
You have to just.
You have to put your heart into tefillah. It's this beautiful passage we just started.
Yeah,
beautiful passage.
Pray like it's all up to you.
Yes.
No, that's right. Act like it's all up to you. Pray like it's all up to God.
I like that. Okay, I wish you all a good summer.